Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman, and our executive director, Cooper. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened last weekend with the piggies. Sorry. No, let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Leonard, God bless him.
Doesn't she sound good, guys? Doesn't she sound good?
She's got a new microphone, everybody.
She's got a new microphone.
I'm a bit shy of it.
We're still sort of experimenting with it a bit, aren't we, Lucy? Mm. So we'll see what the levels are like.
We began the week with Leonard, God bless him, who is now running Brookfield single-handed. He popped over to spruce up the hen house, underfloor heating, plasma screen, that sort of thing. Leonard mentioned to Ruth that when his son was feeling a bit low, they'd made a pergola together. Good idea, said Ruth. I'll order the scaffolding. You can build us another crop barn. Jill wasn't there. She was at church. God needed her advice on something. Not entirely sure how Mia thinks preventing a load of hoorays from enjoying a drunken night out is going to stop blood sports in the UK, but I applaud her enthusiasm that continues unabated, despite the boringly realistic attitude of Brad, who keeps pointing out that picking locks and sending out 140 emails from one computer was mission impractical, and then coming up with the brilliant excuse that, no, I wasn't trying to get into your office to hack your computer, Elizabeth, only to have sex on your desk. Oh, that's fine then, said Lizzie. Carry on. You may have to adjust the arm supports on my executive desk as Vincey and I were giving it a whirl last. Mop up when you're finished. Bye. We were back with Rory and his granny. Her corns were giving her jip, judging by the sigh she gave when she sat down. Either that or her spanks were digging in. As a couple, they sounded even more stilted than normal. She does sound like a lovely, warm individual, though, doesn't she? Really lovely philosophy of life. I hope whatever Rory did for Julianne to earn that bonus was worth it. However, good news on the horizon, as it appears that Paul and Rory are an item in waiting. Rory's got a nerve talking about Ben being boring and staying in all the time when he's 20 years old and spending his free time wearing a name badge on his lapel and hanging round a Radisson Blue in Norwich, waiting for his auntie to bring him a Britvic and lemonade with a straw. He found Paul, the veterinary nurse, grooming Cranford Crystal in the stables at Lower Loxley, which was a surprise, as I don't remember Denise ever being taken on trips out to the local stately, but there we are. Also at Lower Loxley, the spirit of Dad's army overtook Mia and Brad, and they started switching road signs around and pretending that roads were closed due to flooding. It wasn't pointed out, unless I missed a bit, where they got all these signs from. I like to think they were like owl signs in Winnie the Pooh and just said, Futler up duh, with a wobbly arrow. Eddie and Oliver were hugely impressed and decided that whoever had switched the signs around was a borderline genius. Well, in the land of the blind. Anyway, Vivian and Vic were very pleased with their night's Eat the Rich activities, even if all that happened was everyone arrived at the Hunt Ball absolutely fine and the evening continued and everyone had a jolly time. That'll teach them. In fact, the only casualty of the evening was a member of Mia's own family, as Oliver had decided to be driven to the ball in a hen night on wheels. In honour of the occasion, Eddie had put the cider on ice in the drinks cabinet and polished up the vibrating eggs. Two other things happened at the Hunt Ball. We discovered that Rory didn't understand the meaning of the word touche, and Elizabeth hadn't quite grasped the phrase, be that as it may. I'm glad they've toned the camp down on Paul for a bit. I was fully expecting him to turn up dressed as Rita Hayworth and call everybody she. But thankfully, now we have got the message, the scriptwriters have dialed down the woo-hoo. Not that if ever there was an event that needed a bit of woo-hoo, it was the Hunt Ball. The music they were playing behind Lizzie when she was fretting sounded like everyone was trapped in the lift of a Hilton Intercontinental. And now the elephant in the room, the horn-rimmed, blue-rinsed, sensible, court-shoed elephant. Jill LaPille went for the jugular and started Ben off crying again when he'd only just dried himself off from last time. She told him she was ashamed of him. All of a sudden, 3 decades of suppressed fury came bursting out of Ruth, and Jill, entirely unfazed, leant back in her chair and lit a cigar with the deeds to Brookfield. David was terrified, as he's only less marginally frightened of his wife than he is of his mother. At no point did he think that standing up for his son might be a good idea. Jill reverted to her sinister mafiosa personality by saying, "Or what?" when Ruth asked her to apologise to Ben. I thought Ruth was making a conciliatory effort by making chili, taking a leaf out of the Carter playbook, but if her attempt was to bring everyone together, presumably not in the same way as Neil and Susan, then it failed dismally, as when they discussed selling a couple of fields, Jill went from naught to apocalypse and decided that David was trying to sell the farm out from under her and that she would leave. Good. Off you pop, you barmy old bat, and take your self-importance with you. Of course, it means everyone at Brookfield is in danger of starving to death, but no doubt Leonard can drop food parcels as soon as he's got his pilot's license. The end.
Or you can just get his takeaways.
Yes.
He's good at doing
Yes. Just drive around to 100 different
spaces. Just dropping these around. Well done, Lucy. Your mic sounded great.
Did it?
You just need a pop shield.
Yes, I know. I am a bit... aren't I?
Sounded good, though. It sounds good.
Okay.
Even listening to you in these headphones is like, Nutella. Something like that. I really loved this week, didn't you? It was so fun.
It was.
Did you not?
Just the Jill turning into the pantomime baddie was just...
Yes!
All of a sudden, from where
exactly.
Did that come from? Everyone was saying, has she developed dementia?
Well, she sounds... I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to know, isn't it? Because the actor sounds a bit different, as we've discussed already, and a bit more wobbly in her voice. Mm. So that lends itself to you thinking all is not quite right. But actually, I think that's just the age of her voice now, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So,
and we didn't hear from her for 2 years, so she aged, you know, there was a significant...
But you'd think that anger and sort of bitterness, it might be related to some sort of, I don't know, some sort of illness.
Ruth was right, though, when she said, "You've always..."
I loved it. I loved her being honest.
And she's right, because we've all detected that. And then and I thought, oh, maybe Ruth's being oversensitive. But then when Jill said, "You may not understand this, Ruth, but Lambs doesn't..." And I thought, she's a farmer.
Well, she's been farming probably longer than you were farming, Jill. Anyway,
Jill was never farming.
She just baked.
Jill was a kitchenware demonstrator at an agricultural show.
And just did the picnics and the breakfasts and...
And drove around, you know, delivering the harvest teas. She didn't do any of the farming. She just listened to Phil, and then Phil became gospel. And whatever David does that isn't what Phil would do.
Well, it was so unlike Jill's character there. Because even though there's been tension, I think, there's always been a bit of tension, hasn't there?
But look how horrid she was to Lizzie when Lizzie had an abortion.
Was Jill horrid to her?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. That was sort of before my time. Oh, I don't remember that.
Mm.
But then, you know, Jill going... one of the things she said, just bail out Ben after all his mistakes. It's like, well, apparently you bailed out Kenton.
Yeah.
When Kenton owed David money. But Kenton has always been the golden boy, hasn't he? And sort of a bit like the Prince Harry of the family.
What was she... When she said that, what was she wanting them to do? To excommunicate Ben from the family?
Well, it wouldn't have made any difference to it. It's sort of nothing to do with Ben now, is it? It's to not pay Vince. They have to pay Vince off now. I guess she's saying Ben has to do it. But how's he going to do that? Also, just hold your... I actually thought Leonard sort of just gone, guys, let's all have a break. And because Jill needs to just have a bath or something, doesn't she? She needs to cool down.
Have a hot bath.
Ruth, I would send Ruth away on a weekend, wouldn't you?
I think she needs to go on a lesbian retreat.
I think it's all going to... Well, because also Leonard was saying how quiet she'd been. So
I think she's leaving.
There's something.
I think she's leaving, and I think there's going to be a... I think she's going to sort of die with things unresolved, and it's going to be a...
That would be awful.
No. Situation.
No, yeah. I shouldn't have done boiling the bag.
If I only I'd known, I'd have done proper rice, David.
I'd have got Tilda, even though it's 5 times more expensive than Sainsbury's.
And you have to faff about and it either burns or remains all mushy.
I'm rather anti-boil in the bag, actually, Lucy, because I find plastic rice... Well, it's more expensive, and it's so, guys, it's so easy to cook rice.
Yes.
But if you've got the cup formula, or Nadia Hussein does the, you put the rice in, then you put water up to your first bit of finger. Because you know you have to add. Anyway, and it's so much easier than doing boil in the bag, which just never tastes right.
No.
Also, who has boil in the bag now? You get a microwave one, don't you? Just get a microwave pouch.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, people on Twitter were going, do they still do boil?
I know.
How long has that been sat in the cupboard?
How long has it been sat in the cupboard? It must have been. It must have been 1990 something, surely.
Best before Uncle Ben's. 1974.
I know. Does boil in the bag actually exist?
She's probably got Angel Delight and Finder's Crispy Pancakes.
But also, because you're not feeding one person, you're feeding at least four.
Yeah.
You've got to do 4 boil in the bags, haven't you? It just didn't make sense. Come on, Ruth. I love it though that but that's another.
I think
tension,
the awkward conversation was my favourite bit when David went. These spices work really well.
I loved it.
Chili powder? That's it. Chili powder, maybe garlic, onion, black pepper.
But
salt.
That's also where the tension comes between Jill and Ruth, doesn't it? Because Ruth has never really been allowed to cook.
No.
And therefore she's not a cook.
And now Jill's awful... making her and punishing her by. And then he said, would you like some more, Mum? No, thank you.
and also when David did that awkward thing of just going, oh, that sounds nice and easy. And it's like, I know it's easy. Yes.
If you want to complicate it, David, do it yourself.
I know, it was just that awkward. It really made me laugh because it happens all the time in our kitchen.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, what a lovely simple. I know it's simple. But if
do you have any idea how much work I've done, how tired I am? I
had to peel the carrots before I chopped them. And I put celery in it. So shut up.
What's the point? Nobody ever eats anything. Anyway, all they want is.
Fine. Take a boil in the bag. Yeah. Do it yourself. But yeah, so that I loved, that's what I really enjoyed this week. And weirdly, on Wednesday, I nearly texted you on Wednesday evening. I don't know what it was, but I think I'd had a couple of glasses of wine, I think. And then I listened to the episode and it was like ramping up to the ball.
Mm.
And when Oliver was describing it, I got absurdly excited. Like I was going. It was sort of like, I felt like it was back in the day when drama really does have a sort of real effect. I was really like, oh my God, I can't wait for the ball. I got so excited.
Was it just because you were anticipating how they were going to stuff it up?
Well, that added an element of excitement, but I was a bit annoyed. I was actually annoyed by that because I was like, if Mia loses Brad his job, I'm going to be furious. And if Mia loses Brad his chance to do that math thing because Oliver gets...
messing around with Oliver is...
Yeah, do not do it, Brad. So that so actually maybe it was sort of the relief of Oliver saying... it's not as bad as you think, basically, and we're going to do this. And then Brad, I think I was so relieved because I thought Brad's not going to stuff it up now, and he changed his mind. But I just got really excited. I don't know why. I just really wanted to be there, even though I hate hunting and horrible blood sports like that. I just really wanted to be there, and I was quite excited for Rory and Paul. I thought
me too,
because really
I want him to get away from. God, she sounds.
Oh my God, her feet though, Lucy. How big are her feet? How big and how, as you said, how bunion-y are her feet? Because it took her most of the episode to get her shoes off. It was disgusting. I was going, oh. If I also imagine, you know, like when
they
you have smelly, thin tights.
Mm.
She'd probably got like, they're all probably a bit wet and sweaty, you know.
American tan. Yeah.
Yes. And I just thought there is nothing more unattractive
than
seeing swollen feet in those tights.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a massive turn off for me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is it? I'll bear that in mind. I just think she sounds like an appalling individual.
Well, she did that thing, didn't? Was it this week when Rory said, oh, it was great meeting Nicola and she's offered me this. Was that this week? And she's offered me a job.
Penelope. And she went, oh. Penelope yeah. Sandford.
Mm. Oh, she's not good enough for you, mm. Roars. Well, that was the power play coming in, wasn't yeah. it? But Rory surely... Well, it now is the beginning of his journey to split up from her, isn't it? And
yes.
that's going to cause a lot of complication.
I mean, Paul sounds like a sound chap.
I think he's adorable.
And he's not going to... If he finds out Rory's doing this... He's going to be the one that goes, what the heck, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
Paul's, are you doing?
Yeah, because Paul's like just a decent bloke, isn't
and
he?
And if I was about to go out with somebody or I was contemplating a relationship with somebody and found out that their self-esteem was low enough to allow them to do that, to do what Rory's doing,
yeah,
I would. That would be a red flag the size of Scotland for me.
Well, also, it's a very tangled web that Rory's created for himself, because it's not going to be as simple as I'm leaving. Because I guess the reason she doesn't want him to go and work for Penelope is because then she loses her grip over him, because she's promised him the world.
Exactly. I mean, and how can you leave? It's not like P45, is it? And,
especially when you go to that nice sushi restaurant. It did sound nice. I love a sushi restaurant.
But it's not like, you know, go and speak to HR and clear your desk.
No, exactly.
It is a relationship on top of a financial... And she'll say, well, why can't you carry on doing both?
Yeah. But it is weird, isn't it? Because we're not 100% clear on what their relationship involves. Like, he went to the seminar with her.
Mm.
So that's all quite strange, isn't it? Like, so she uses him to talk. She thinks he's sort of intelligent and mature enough to talk to other businessy people.
Mm.
You know, she was like, oh, thanks for talking to John about his big fat MG. And that's a bit weird, because so what is he?
He's a 70s corporate wife, isn't he? He's
right.
He is.
Yeah.
You know, in the 1970s, they would use the phrase dolly bird for...
Yeah.
You know, somebody that looks pretty and just is draped over the arm of this powerful bloke. And then she gets sort of strategically targeted to go out and be nice to old MJ and see if you can persuade him to blah, 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 blah. You know, and that's exactly what Rory's role is, I think.
Yeah, Rory's role. And then
a little bit of tight action afterwards.
Strip those tights off me, Rory. Come on, suck my toes.
Oh,
Julianne, no, please, not the toes.
Yeah, could you at least
take a bite?
Oh,
it was horrible, that scene. My best line in the whole week was Paul. Because, you know, I was a bit on the fence about Paul. I was like, you know, because he was a bit annoying, wasn't he, when we first met him, a bit OTT. And then, as you said, this week they'd calmed him down. He was just a nice guy. But then he won my heart when Rory went, oh, I better get back to Elizabeth because she'll be having kittens. And he was like, and that's something I can help you with. And I was like, whoever wrote that line, pat yourselves on the back.
But then Rory bollocks it up by going, touche.
Why did they put that in?
It doesn't mean that.
Ruined it.
This does not mean what you think it means.
But also, it ruined it.
I know.
There was a punchline. There didn't need to be another random line, as you said, didn't make sense.
Yeah. There could have just been a ha 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 ha. And then off they walked down the field. You know?
Or just nothing.
Just nothing, quite. It's like, this is good. Let's see how we can ruin it. I know. Let's have him say, touche.
What was the other thing Lizzie said?
Elizabeth tried to say, be that as it may, and it didn't fit. It was either be that as it may or...
Maybe that is a may. That is may as it may be.
Maybe, be that as it may
maybe,
be being.
Maybe. Be that as it may be. But... those are the sort of things that you can easily get wrong, though.
Yes.
And probably a director wouldn't notice.
Well, because you think you know what you're saying, and so you're looking at the next line, and
Maybe that's maybe it. Be in your bonnet, maybe that is it, Vince. Anyway, how fabulous do I look, Rory? Oh, Rory, you look like James Bond. How good do I look? How good do I look?
And then he said, you look marvellous, Elizabeth.
Oh,
and she sort
gross.
Of went, yes, yes. Like, I know. Yes, I know. Yeah.
They have I think their relationship, I know it's godmother or auntie
or whatever. No, it's very gay best friend, isn't it?
It is a bit, isn't it? She really needs him to prop her up. And
there was a slight pause when he said, I'm looking for my friend. She said, oh, what, JW, is she here? And then he said something like, no, I'm looking for Paul. And she was sort of like, oh. There was just a second of her processing.
Remember. Oh, I mean, that they've never... He hasn't had a boyfriend, though, has he, Rory?
He has, but a secret one. He had Troy, that friend of... Troy McClure, that friend
Troy, of... Troy, and now it's Paul. Yeah, I'm pleased with all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved the hunt ball. I was actually, even though I am not into hunty stuff, Lucy, I don't like them being horrible to foxes. And so I was sort of with the anti-hunt protesting, but because they are basically my friends and Oliver is my friend and Lizzie is my friend, I didn't want Mia and Brad to frick it up.
Mm. Well, particularly
I loved the sort of damp squib of it. It was just fine. But they made a tiny point.
Yeah.
But no one even knew it was from anti-hunt.
Exactly, that's the point. If you're going to do a protest, you've got to come out and do it.
What you do is everyone parks up, goes to the party, and then they come back out and their cars are covered in blood.
Yes.
Or, you know, like...
Or you've let everyone's tyres down or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not...
Or in an, you know, if at least if you cover it in blood, they can put the windscreen wipers on and go home. But you've sort of made a... more dramatic point.
But the only upset she caused was smashing up Eddie's limo.
I know, stupid girl. But do you think that that person who drove really fast, is that something we're going to come back to?
I don't
because
know.
Why would
it
have
mentioned
happened
a few times, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Going that fast.
Sorry, someone's just texted me to say they are at where they should be.
Hooray. Do you have like one of those maps in the wall where you push counters around to?
Yes, I have. I'm just moving.
Your dining table is
just
covered in a
that
massive
pin to
map
drama
of
club.
West London.
Okay, yes, I know that one's
child
there.
Child A is
that
here. Child B is moving in a northeasterly direction. Yeah.
And child, there's one child still in the house watching telly. Okay, good.
Rex is on the northern line.
Luckily, Rex is not in the house. He's with... I made Rufus take him to the football.
Oh.
He was like, oh, God, really? And then I basically packed a suitcase for Rex because it's just watching a match.
Yeah.
And it had all his toys in it, drawing, snacks. Yeah. And Rufus was like, why do I need all this? I was like,
trust me.
God, have you not lived with this child for 4 years? Do you not know your child yet? You think he's going to be able to sit and watch a match? Watch a match? Just sitting, watching a match? No. Or standing, watching a match? No. You are going to need food, distractions, hot chocolates. Anyway.
My friend went to his first football match as a bonding thing with his dad when he was six. And it was a cup final. And every single time... Andrew would say, Dad, I need a wee. And his dad would go, really? Can you hold on? No, now. So his dad would go, right. And every single time they went out of sight of the pitch, they heard, yay! And someone had scored.
That's so annoying.
He said, sobbing times it happened.
But that's the thing, if you take them too young, they're so bored. They'll just, going to the loo is a fun thing to do, isn't it?
It's moving around and saying different things. Yeah. Dear.
Yeah.
Well, I sympathise with both of them. Poor Rex and poor Rex.
Well, Rex is at a child playing. Another of our children playing football.
Oh,
so it's not a scary sort of, a proper match.
Okay.
Back to, oh God, Lucy, what are we doing talking about the Archers? What are we doing?
You want to know about the pigs, don't you?
How many husbands did you snort with? So to speak.
It wasn't a dinner party in Knightsbridge.
Oh, God, that feels good. Julianne will be snorting all night, probably.
It was lovely. It was very, very good. It was in at Kate Tumble's farm in Monmouthshire.
But she didn't turn up.
It's a lovely place. She was there. She walked her dog around the field.
So you waved at her?
No, we all ignored her. Okay. There were pictures of her everywhere and no one mentioned her. It was very strange. It was
funny.
But I recorded this for you.
Oh, good.
Hang on.
Yes, a bit of live.
This was when The wieners were being given apples.
Oh.
And it's to show you how
cute they are.
Competitive
oh.
wieners are over apples, largely. Mm. Right. There we go.
Oh, it's like a bloodbath.
That was two apples. That was
two
apples. All that fuss. Yes.
Blimey.
Yes. They're incredible creatures.
Oh.
And the man doing the course, I can really recommend the course. And the man doing the course was great. And he was a guy from Wales, obviously. And he lives with his mum. And he was talking about the joy of. Or he was talking about emotional connection with animals that you're then going to eat.
Oh.
And he said, some people prefer to eat food that they know the animal has had a nice life. It's had it's been kept as calm as it could possibly be. The slaughter was, he told us all about humane slaughter and all that stuff. Not using commercial slaughterhouses wherever possible and all that sort of thing. And he said, but some people prefer not to, they actually prefer to go to the supermarket and buy it in a cellophane pack. They don't even want to go to the butchers because it completely takes out the, or helps them remove the concept of the fact that they're eating a living, what was a living animal with a face and eyes and all that. And he said his mum is in the latter camp, which is a bit unfortunate bearing in mind what he does. And he said she goes off to the supermarket and then comes back and says, I've got some lovely chops. And he says, what, you bought them? She says, yeah. And he says, Mum, we've got a freezer full. The freezer is full of, you know, beautiful, organic, home-raised, free-range pork chops, sausages, da, 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 da. And she says, I know. I'm not eating them. That's Andrew. I know him. She says.
Oh.
And he calls them all Andrew and Sheila and Barry and Trevor, and they've all got slightly strange sort of slightly middle-aged names, which is peculiar, but you know, yeah.
John,
yeah,
Percy.
Graham. So, yes.
Yeah, but more importantly, Lucy, who are the other people?
None of them listen to the Archers.
What?
Yeah.
You're joking.
Nope.
They're with pigs.
Yep.
They're like animals.
Eight people on the course, none of them listen to the Archers. Three
You're
were
joking.
People that just liked pigs and wanted to learn all about them. Two were people who worked on special educational needs schools and had animals within the school that the children learned husbandry and livestock care and all that.
Wow.
And one of them was a people referral unit where they've got some quite challenging pupils. And he said, it was a really nice chat. We were talking over lunch and he said that if they had a pupil that was behaving in a particularly stubborn way, they would make it walk the goat round the field. Because he said, if you've ever tried to make a goat do something it doesn't want to do, like walk round a field on a rope,
then it's stubborn.
You have to be patient. And the child comes back and says, God, that goat is so stubborn. And, you know, and you go, mm-hmm. And then
really cool.
He said they then they have to modify their behaviour, and they also have to reflect on what being.
All schools should have goats.
I know. I was saying to him, this
pigs in them.
This just sounds like the most amazing education because everything math. They do maths to work out the fencing, you know, how much area and all that sort of stuff. And he said you can tell the children can tell if you are giving them made up tasks. And then they'll just go, no.
Right.
But if you can link it to what's actually happening then.
Oh, such like a dream.
Yeah.
A dream way to be educated, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
And no one tried to be your husband?
There was a Russian man who invited me to walk around the garden. And I said, no, thank you, because it's not our garden and we can't just go around it. And anyway, you're on the tree laying course and I'm doing pigs.
The garden was your... We'll
and I'm not allowed to talk to you.
Why weren't you allowed to talk to him?
No, I wasn't. I was, but I didn't want to.
Did he take a fancy to you?
Yes, I think so.
Did he say, I want to be... Okay, did he say, I came on this husband
weekend to find
myself. I misread the leaflet. I thought it was for women that wanted husband. Do you want husband?
No, thank you.
You are more beautiful than Peak.
Also, you have nice wellies. I love a woman in wellies.
I want to see your bunions. My Russian is from Transylvania. So you didn't he didn't chase you around a muddy field?
An orchard. No, he didn't.
Oh, I was really hoping he would. Just for the podcast.
Yeah. No, sorry.
I feel like you should have led him on a bit, Lucy, to get a
like
bit
a goat.
More content
like a
for the listeners.
Goat. Sorry.
Yes. Come on. Come on, this way. Come on. I'll take my top off. Come on. but fun times.
It was.
Did
very,
you all have
fun.
To sit around the kitchen table and have dinner together?
No, we just had lunch together.
Oh, I see. Yes. So you didn't overnight with them?
No, I overnighted in Monmouthshire. But
in a B&B?
Yes.
On your own?
Yes.
Nice B&B?
Yes.
Any other guests?
Don't know, didn't see any.
Good breakfast?
Yes, very.
Oh, lucky. Mm. Oh, how nice. Mm. Oh, what a great weekend. So you feel all relaxed?
Yeah, it was. It was really, really good.
Oh, good to spend some time with animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have. Oh, and the man was telling us as well about the importance of
being earnest.
The importance of having a little first aid kit for yourself so that you didn't panic and ring the vet and immediately incur an 80 quid charge before even breathed out. Because a lot of the things you can actually treat yourself quite simply.
Oh, like a sort of putting iodine on.
Yes, exactly.
Is
blue
that
spray
still?
And all that stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he said that one of his friends that was a pig keeper got in a state and rang him and said, I think there's something wrong with my pig. She's being really, really weird. She's being really fussy and she's snapping at everybody. And he said, I got there and I had a look. She had a foof the size of the dining room table. I said, she's in season.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, I see. She was all puffed up.
Yes.
Ready to be.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Golly.
But anyway, I didn't expect to spend the weekend hearing the sentence, a foof the size of a dining room table, but there we go.
Oh, that sounds cool. What was the other question I was going to ask you? Oh, yeah, so if you get pigs now, so if you, when you eventually move, when you get pigs, do you have to be checked out before you're allowed
yes.
to rear them?
Yes.
So you can't just buy some pigs?
No. Well, you can, but that would, you'd be buying them from somebody unlicensed and...
Oh, I see. So they need to basically know that you can look after a pig.
Doing a handover and a lay-by or something. You have to have a movement licence, so they have to know where the pigs have come from or where they're going to.
Movement licence. We had to have one of those at drama school.
Mm. Really?
When you got good at dance.
You got a move. You were licensed to dance.
Yeah, you were licensed to move. after so many movement classes, you get your licence. A movement licence as in you can move them along now.
You could
move
them
to another place.
Take them from one place to another. Because of the African... swine flu, which was the ASF thing that we were groping to remember last
week.
Yes. They have to, well, I mean, they always were careful, but now they have to be super, super careful.
And did you have to be super, super careful then?
Yes, lots of disinfectant and all that stuff.
Ooh. Did you have to wear plastic stuff?
No.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, but we had to slosh about in disinfectant.
If you'd have had to put one of those hair nets on, I'm not sure the Russian would have.
No, I don't know. No.
Not sure you would have wanted.
No.
Him. No. I mean, no, not him. I don't know why I'm obsessed with the Russian man. I sort of want to know who he is, what he looks like. Is he doing it again?
Would you like
What's
to
his
go
next
on
weekend?
The course in the hope?
Why is he doing it? Is he getting pigs?
No. He was doing hedge laying course.
Oh!
Mm.
There wasn't just pigs?
No.
You could do anything?
You could do all kinds of country courses there, yes.
Oh, and then you all come together for lunch?
Yes.
And you meet the other sections?
Yes.
So was there sheep and stuff, people?
There weren't sheep people when I was there. There is a sheep.
What was...
So it was hedge laying. Pig keeping, beekeeping, fencing.
Did the beekeeping people all come back stung?
All looking going, a bit drowsy. Ow! And... Yeah. Ow! Every time I sat down. Slapping wildly at the air. Yeah.
What about cake baking? Jill...
Oh,
was
God.
Jill there?
Can you imagine? No, it was making a very, very pies. Nice, very posh girl who gave us all the instructions.
Oh, I bet.
And
was she a bit pink?
Yes.
Pink and blonde.
A bit ruddy. And
with a hairband.
Whenever we
said anything. She said, oh, no, that's super. No, that is absolutely super. So if you asked where the loo is, she'd say, just down the corner. Just down the corner.
Around the corner.
And if you said thank you, she said, oh, it's super. So good. Glad that was super.
Oh, I love it. I can't believe no one listened to the Archers.
I know, I'm sorry.
Did you ask them if they would?
Just for us. Yes. No, I didn't, no.
Oh, what a shame.
No, sorry.
Do you think Leonard's son is coming soon?
Otherwise, yes, why would he have intriguing,
bought
doesn't he?
Simon? Yeah, why would he have brought Simon up otherwise? Because it was just to remind us that Saint Leonard had a son.
And it was also to remind us that Saint Leonard is a really good parent and the rest of them are shit.
Yes.
From Jill onwards.
I mean, imagine having a dad who can build a pergola. That is a dream dad.
My mother an arch in her garden, a wooden arch,
wow.
Which she referred to as daddy's erection for the next 20 years. Just to embarrass everybody that came to the house. Your father's erection's wonky on one side.
Oh, that is funny. Oh, I wish Leonard lived with us.
He is dead handy, isn't he?
Dead handy. Dead handy. But yes, as you said, will they soon be taking a trip to Geneva? No. Did you say that? Did I imagine that? Did you text me that?
No. I said I think she's on the way out. But I never mentioned dignitas.
Oh, maybe someone else said that. Maybe someone on Twitter. Oh my God, I'm plagiarizing people's work. Any other business?
There's a million one emails. You're all very lovely for emailing so much, but we now can't read everybody out now because there's just so many. It would be the email show. So I'm going
but
to
we
have
could
to
do it bit by bit.
Edit some people. So
oh,
I'm
yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Any other dog
I hate
puns?
Doing that.
Dog puns?
Yes. Dog puns from Anne. Who...
Maybe that should be a separate podcast, actually.
just dog puns.
I could just read out the dog puns and we put it out on a Tuesday.
She said, no, she's actually come up with an Ambridge mixtape for the running listener.
Ooh.
who the person that said that the Hats I've Known was really good for running too. The Hats I've Known.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
She says, Clary, wherever I lay my hat.
great.
Neil and Jazza, I am the pig man. Chelsea, anything from the musical Hair. Rory,
oh my God,
Queen's
brilliant.
Good old fashioned lover boy. And Tony, the locomotion.
That is amazing.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Thank you, Anne.
Brilliant, Anne.
The locomotion. Right. William Nolan, Cooper and Co. The subject of dropped plot lines has come up on the podcast in recent weeks. Here's some more we've all forgotten about. Who created the effigy of Alice in the middle of the village?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought we knew who it was in the end.
No. Wasn't Brian Aldridge supposed to be holding a community event to apologise for polluting the Am? I remember Kenton having a go at him in the Bull shortly before the 20 to 22 unpleasant occurrence. And finally, who the blithering heck are the Gills? And why haven't we heard a single mention of them in over 2 years, despite them owning a massive farmhouse in the village right across the yard from where Home Farm have their office?
Interesting.
Oh dear. And William says that we've cheered him up. Particularly on a particularly bleak walk home in the cold and rain after a stressful day. Oh, I'm sorry, William.
Well, I have to say, last week was a shiting shit show of a week weather-wise, wasn't it?
It was.
And just general mood. I think general mood in November is horrible.
Yeah. It's a bit like February. Once you've got Valentine's Day over, if you're lucky enough to have somebody that gets you things, then it's all a bit...
Oh, it's bleak. And I felt like last week, except for Friday, which was lovely, last week was bleak as. So I'm with you. I had a shitty week as well.
Mm.
Lucy probably did. Oh, no, you were still basking in
sour
glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was pigging it.
Pigging it.
Liz has told us off. Actually, Liz is telling us off on Olivia's behalf.
Okay.
I said about the horror bins, whenever the horror bins or the Grundys try to kind of elevate themselves, then there's a big backlash and it goes wrong. Whereas Freddie is allowed to kind of just scoot along quite happily because he is upper middle class.
Except while
and I
prison.
Said he had money. And she said the Pargeters are not rich. Lower Loxley does not have dozens of tenants who hand over vast amounts of rent every Michaelmas. It's an absolute money pit. The Orangery, Deck the Halls, Jessica's Falconry displays, Attraction Engine rallies, and all the other events moneymaking schemes have the preservation of Lower Loxley in accordance with Nigel's wishes as their main purpose. Lily wouldn't have spent all that time flogging kitchens if the Pardew de Bank statement contained so many zeros that the weight of them required additional postage, nor would Freddie have worked as a kitchen hand at Gay Grables. The big old house must equal large amounts of dosh argument is a complete fallacy.
Wow.
True dat.
But true dat, because obviously, yeah, they must just burn money, those big yep. houses. But on the other hand, you've got a ready-made business and what you can work for it. So mm-hmm. you're never going to be out of a job.
Yep, and you can also have the option of selling it.
And although it'll probably only go for about £1. But no, they could sell the business, couldn't they?
Yep.
That's the thing. The business must be worth money.
I think
in my defense, there's no cash, is there? There's
yes.
cash poor, but
yes.
asset rich. Probably.
Yes. In my defense, Olivia and Liz, I think what I'm talking, I probably said money, but I shouldn't have said money. It's poverty of choice. The Horribins don't have choices. One of the worst things about poverty is that one day is exactly like the next, and you can see the future in front of you, and you have very little opportunity to actually change that narrative unless something very, very unexpected happens. And every time the Grundys try to change things, or they say it's like, you know, the old Del Boy thing, this time next year we'll be millionaires and all that, it's that optimism that somehow things are going to get better when really you're stuck.
Freddie has the choice. He can work in the Orangery or run the gallery.
Oh, he's always going to have choices. He's got contacts. He's got friends with money. He's got, he's just got opportunities and choices that they just don't have. And I'll tell this very, very quickly. Sorry, because I'm going on a bit today. I was at a charity.
She doesn't like to talk about her charity work.
I was at a charity auction. And the tables cost $1,500 a table. And you flogged, the English cricket team were there and all that. And you flogged off the seats to your mates, or you bought them if you were trying to chat someone up for a corporate thing. And there was a charity auction. And there were 10 prizes. The bidding started at £1,000. There were 10 prizes. 5 of the prizes were internships at companies.
No way.
So basically, unless your parent had a grand in disposable income right there, or they had the money to, or the contacts to actually be given the seat as well, kids that could not afford that would not even know that that internship was available.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of what we were talking about last week, wasn't it? With Chris, basically.
Yeah.
Wanting George to observe him. No, but that's very, 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 very difficult, isn't it? Because obviously they're raising money for charity. But it's like the Hump Ball when Oliver was like, oh, and did you know that there are all the sales of raffle tickets are going to the food bank? And Brad was like, oh, that's really good. But then the other side of you goes, but they could donate to the food bank anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
without having to buy a raffle ticket. But it's difficult, isn't it? Because because they're not going to donate to the food bank unless they buy the raffle ticket. So
it's about raising awareness, and I get that, but I just think...
But the internship thing, that leaves a bit of a bad taste in your mouth, because that is taking opportunities away from people who don't...
And it's the rich and the well-connected giving more opportunities to the rich and the well-connected. And this circle just continues, and no one else can get a look in. And that's where I think the Freddie versus Brad.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not the same. Brad, they're not in the same. They're literally, Brad, they're not living the same.
Yeah, it's not a level playing field. And Brad had to have a unlikely local philanthropist to pop up and help him out.
And they actually, they addressed it, didn't they? Once, who was Freddie talking to? Chelsea, maybe, or somebody. And he was moaning about, do you remember? There was an episode. Freddie was moaning about his lot and going, I can't remember. Ah. And then whoever he was talking to, Chelsea, probably was like, yeah, sounds really bad. And then he was like, oh, no, sorry, I didn't mean, you know, there was an episode where he sort of said, I know I'm not in your boat sort of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, like life, it's not all plain sailing for me just because I have this massive house. Oh, do you remember that?
I do vaguely, yeah. I
can't remember who he was
with.
It must have been Chelsea or something. She was like, well, you've got this massive house. It's not the same for you. Or maybe it was Tracy, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, can't remember.
I mean, kids all have a burden of expectation. Just by being born, you've got a burden of expectation on you. But it's just the poverty of choice that I find outrageous.
Yes. Anyway, Lucy, moving on.
Sorry. Yes, I know.
No, I'm joking. No, it's really interesting. But that's the sort of stuff that makes the Archers, that makes Ambridge interesting as well, because it is a reflection of society.
Yes.
And, there's the, you know... The rich people, like Lizzie, who would probably claim that she wasn't rich, but she relatively is, isn't she? Mind you, God, imagine those energy bills. Woo! Coming in for Lower Loxley.
No, they've only got two rooms, haven't they? They've only got two bedrooms. They're essentially, you know, she's a one-parent family living in a two-bedroom home. That's what
Vince, and now you've called that loan in from David and Ruth, I wonder if you could pay my energy bills for me, thanks.
Otherwise, I'll just have to burn another Vermeer, and you know I hate doing that. Katie Reddington, who says she's a 32-year-old Pip and Helen hating Archers fan, says, I firmly believe Vince Casey is part of the Philip Moss modern slavery gang. Call me naive, but wasn't there a grey man who is yet to be unmasked? And his most recent trip sounded suspect to me. This is another conspiracy theorist who desperate for the twist to tie up the loose ends.
I think it was legit going to the Philippines, wasn't it? To find some workers who were coming, I assume coming over on visas.
Yes.
But if you want to hear something awful, I mean, it was a radio play that they had this week called Dear Harry Kane.
Oh, God, about Qatar,
I accidentally started listening to it and I just couldn't stop listening to it. And
well, I very deliberately didn't listen to it for exactly
that
reason.
It's so... depressing because it's obviously based on many true things that have happened in Qatar in the last few years, and then it really makes you go, oh my God, I don't know if I can watch any of the games because
you're not David Beckham and going out there to add to your £32 billion fortune by
exactly
every bit extra adds to what you've got, eh, David?
It's actually unbelievable. I mean, you know, anyway, I do recommend listening to it because I thought it was really, really well done and it's heartbreaking. Anyway, it starts like next week, doesn't it? I mean, not that I'd watch the games anyway. What am I talking about? But people in my house will.
I'm completely giving up paragliding also.
I'm going to make them listen to that play though before they watch it.
Just make sure that they're miserable. Take all the joy out of it.
Exactly. Come on, guys, stop it. Like, just stop watching because you don't understand what went in. Well, no, I feel horrible taking the mickey now. I'm not. I'm really not. It's horrible. It's actually horrible. And there was a really good documentary as well on Radio 4. God, I've been listening to a lot of Radio 4 lately. Called...
no wonder you're depressed.
I know, Lucy. Honestly, I've had such a depressing week.
Just turn over to Radio 4 Extra. It's all willy jokes. It's much, much better.
I know. But there was another documentary called How Did Qatar Win the World Cup?
Right.
And that was also really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, all the different things that had to line up so that they won it. Anyway. God, we've segued.
I know. It's like listening to The Socialist Worker this week. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway.
In our time. Yeah. But no, that's the wrong programme.
It's the world at one.
Yes, the world at one.
This is Tom Peach.
Hi, Tom.
Dear beautiful ladies, Cooper and Jif. It's been another strange week in the land down under. We've had inland tsunamis consuming towns and sending people struggling for high ground. We've had snow in the Highlands and we've had England winning a cricket World Cup. Truly, these are the end times. In The Archers, Rosa and Julianne is something I can do without. What is the point of that story? Now that he's getting a paid internship from Penelope, then will we see him expand his services to be the Ambridge gigolo? Am I the only one who hears the word intern and immediately thinks of Bill and Monica? she said, for fuck's sake, Jill, it isn't out of character, but why would she say that straight to Ben? It's horrible, and although that is consistent with her behaviour to Elizabeth and others, I think she'd be a little more tactful, wouldn't she? Now, if David grows a backbone and tells her to do one, then it truly will be the end of the world. P.S. Jimmy the cattle dog sends his best to Cooper. Jimmy is increasingly mad, although he did leave a large snake well alone on his walk the other morning. Around 60,000 dogs a year are bitten by snakes in Australia, and around 15,000 die. So we're keeping an eye out when in the bush.
Gosh. Golly.
I had no idea.
God.
15,000 dogs a year. Amazing. Oh, anyway.
Too many snakes.
Yes, I could do without it also, Tom. I think it's very icky, but I like the way it's showing up Rory's confusion around his identity, his sense of self, and his sort of his philosophy of life, which is quite worrying. This is Daniel Everett, our friend.
Hi,
Daniel.
Of the Everetts.
Hello, Lucy, Harriet, Cooper, Jeff, Mum, and Auntie Joe. My brother thinks that I should stop emailing you. Don't listen to your brother, Daniel.
I did ask if he had siblings, didn't I?
Yes. I always get so jealous of people's witty comments on The Archers, whereas I just blurt out my opinion. I love Brad. He's the best character. I would like to see Julianne's opinion of Paul and Rory. Also, it filled me with such joy to see Ruth have a go at Jill, quite rightly. Rory saying orcs was more awkward and cringy than the thing he was commenting on.
It was.
By the way, it definitely wasn't the actual actors at Shakespeare for Schools. It sounds more highbrow than it was. Freddie was called John and Natasha was just a Welsh middle-aged woman, which I now always associate with her. I know you are probably joking, but I'm going to try and answer all the questions asked to me for last week's podcast. I am doing drama, art, history and French.
Oh, how lovely.
We have to do French for my GCSEs. I live in Northampton. I have two brothers, Matthew and James. James isn't to The Archers. Matthew is at uni. James is doing his A-levels. My dad always seems amazed that my emails get read on this podcast. And I remind him that you only get about 10. Dan.
You're right, Dan.
That he's put Christ on a bike. That's a long email. Dan, you are a specialist in the drive-by. You're all nice, 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 nice.
Yeah,
and then just when we're warming to you,
comment.
You go and kick us in the groin every time.
Also, we only read about 10.
Yeah, obviously
don't
we get like a billion.
We get millions.
Totally, like a billion.
I think he's doing a lovely selection of subjects.
He is, isn't he?
C'est très important pour parler le français, Lucie, oui.
I was going to say, I think the fact that he said, we have to do French, in brackets, implies that he doesn't probably agree with you.
Yeah, but now, I'm sorry, it's dead easy to learn languages because there are so many things you can do on your laptop or computer that help you.
Well,
it's incredible.
You'd think that unless you were trying to learn sodding Welsh, but anyway.
Well, I mean, there's learning French / Spanish and then there's learning Welsh.
I thought I was doing all right at Welsh until Jeff suddenly discovered this whole layer of masculine and feminine and tenses. And also, like, the word for Thursday morning is completely different for the word for Thursday evening. The actual word Thursday changes.
Oh, stop it.
No,
that is a stupid rule.
The whole thing is designed to make you
get it wrong. The lovely thing about Welsh, Lucy, is you can sort of swap in a few English words and no one's going to notice or mind. That's the good thing about Welsh. If you don't speak it that well and just put a bit of English in, you'll probably be understood.
Unlike in France, if you use the word le weekend and then they try and kill you. So, yeah. Right, Jane.
Anyway, that's good, Dan. Thank you for that background.
Jane in Cornwall, who's not decorating. The hunt ball saboteurs reminded me of George and the post box. Has anything happened about that? The Archers has a bit of a knack of building up to something and then tumbleweed. No one mentions Ruth nearly running off with Sam and abandoning her children. However, I agreed with Ruth this week, but I am really worried. Jill Archer is going to, whispers, pass away. before it gets resolved, and that would mess Ben up.
Mm. And
thank you, Harriet and Matt, for so much for the Haps I've Known dance remix. It was genius.
Yeah, I think Ruth, I mean, actually, I know I can, you know, Ruth's anger is at boiling point now.
Yeah.
But she really does sort of need to go away and go, this woman is probably going to die quite soon.
Yeah.
And she's really old and that might affect her judgment. Yeah. So I'm just going to tell Ben to ignore his stupid old granny who's, you know, probably getting a bit senile and just get on with his life.
Yeah. Cooper is whining. He needs to go out. Sorry, give me 2 seconds. I've just got to go let him out. Noise is off. Bang.
Oh, I should be saying something because she's not going to edit this bit out.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I could have put some. I could have done a song or something, Lucy.
Feel free. Knock yourself out, love.
I literally can't think of one that's pig related.
Pig related?
I'm Lily the Pinga Pinga Pinga. Pinga Pinga the Saviour. Is that about a pig? Lily the Pink?
I thought it was about an elephant.
No, that's Nelly the Elephant.
Oh, I don't know.
Which is a great song. Great song. Anyway, sorry. I just keep looking at my notes that are on my screen because I've got Leonard's son Simon, pergola, unabated, because I thought you put a good pun in there, corns, having kitten, and then I've written boners.
Boners?
Because you said bonus, but it sounded like you said boners. And I was like, well, his bonus is for the boners. His boners are...
It was a bonus bonus.
Bonus. Anyway. So, yes...
Christmas boners.
Where did you get to?
Olivia.
She's
sent
already
me
had
a
go
lovely
at you.
Picture of her doggy.
No, Liz had a go at you on Olivia's behalf.
Yeah. No, this is a different Olivia.
Okay.
She said, when you did your squirrel impression, her dog went bananas. Her dog happened to be chasing a squirrel when you did the voice. And Olivia was listening on her headphones, and so it sounded like you were doing like a voiceover under her dog chasing the squirrel. So it made her laugh a lot in the pub. She says, my prediction about Stella and Ruth has yet to come to fruition. But
so
I would like
prediction.
To claim the prediction about Chelsea and Freddie, as I emailed about that a while ago.
Yes, I remember.
So I'm taking full responsibility for that, which means it won't happen, as
Fair
my
dues.
Track record of successful plot predictions is at zero. Yay for Rory. Can't spell it, never mind pronounce it. Moving away from controlling Julianne. Can't wait to find out how furious she is when he reminds her that she doesn't actually own him. And finally, did we know Ruth had so much pent-up loathing of Jill?
Yes.
She also wants to pay for a downloadable version of Hats I've Known. I don't know how we will do that, but we'll try.
Yeah, we can put it on... Well, it's up to Matt, really. We put it on SoundCloud, and then if you make it public, you can download it.
As a ringtone, can you?
Well, just as an MP3. Yeah, you can download...
Because I've had a terrible job trying to get things as MP3s as ringtones. But anyway, that's probably me, as we know.
I don't really know how you then make it a ringtone, but...
You have to save it as something weird, I think.
Exactly. But I don't think we need to worry about that. But we could definitely make it down... It would be up to Matt, because it's his copyright, Lucy.
Oh, yes.
We might ask him if it might be made available to download.
I think we did know that Ruth had so much pent-up loathing of Jill because there's been lots of...
Where's Jill going to go now she's got...
Lizzie. I bet she'll go back to Lower Loxley.
Oh, God, Lizzie's going to be pleased. Vince is going to be delighted. Get Ivy over and Jill will be...
Iris.
At Brookfield. Iris! She'll be back at Brookfield before you can say... Bessie.
Right, this is Joe O'Leary. I'm hoping that Dan will cover the family bios as I've been busy with the family admin. So this is Dan's...
He did.
Auntie Joe. Yes. Oh, dear. She says she's a recovering scientist living in the near Swindon area.
Oh, interesting.
I greatly enjoyed the Harriet Does Science section of last week's podcast.
Always informative.
She said, Christmas plans are all sorted. I've ordered one of they turkeys. And Cadiz sounds great for Ambridge on the Couch on tour. We usually have three Archers refuse nicks with us, but can ditch them for you three. How does mid-August sound?
Absolutely brilliant.
I have no idea what happened in Ambridge this week. I'm hoping very little so we can hear if Lucy now has a pig husband. Yes, nobody proposed throughout the entire weekend. It's extremely
well, he practically did, it sounds like.
I think, would you like a walk around the garden?
He was so is, that how,
is that how Rufus
That's
proposed
lovely.
To you? He said, would you like a walk around the garden, Harry? And you went, I do! And the buzzer
yes,
was
we
there,
both had our hands behind our backs and we walked elegantly round an orchard. And then he picked an apple for me and it had a worm in it.
And then he jumped into a lake and emerged with a sopping wet shirt.
Oh, yes. And then he came out with that sopping wet shirt.
Yes. Oh God, she's off. Oh God. Right. This is Matt said we can only Matt Rodriguez Payne was talking about the music at Lower Loxley.
Oh,
said,
lift,
we can only
music.
Presume that Lizzie booked a very niche band. He said, it was free jazz. Any of the group can do anything irrespective of each other's timing or key. Is it too late to nominate Jill as twat of the week?
Well, I feel bad being so mean to Jill, because although she was a bitch, she is clearly not in her right mind.
Mm.
Or maybe she's really worried about something, an illness. You know, maybe she's found a lump or something terrible and is not saying anything. And it's all sort of like this pent up angst.
Or she's concerned that the farm is going to break up and she wants, you know, she's got her will and now she's going to be like...
She is a 90 plus something woman, isn't she, who does have a strong opinion on abortions. Mm. So wasn't going to go, oh, that's fine, well done. So you sort of have to go, well, that's her very strong opinion and I am going to respect it and just get on with my life and not let her judgment obscure
I think the issue
me.
Was what Ruth said was when she said it's not an equal fight. Because
he puts you on a pedestal.
Yes, and the opinion of you... If Pip said to him, I'm ashamed of you, he'd say, piss off.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
But then
you can't
I sort of
that.
Just well, I just wouldn't have even brought it up with Jill, to be honest.
But if he knew, didn't he? That's why he kept saying, "How's Gran? How's Gran?
Yeah.
How's Gran?"
But some, you know, like at that age, she's not going to change.
No.
She's not going to say sorry because she's like that goat. Leonard's going to have to walk her around a field
until she just gives in.
She just bleeps.
She's kicking everybody. Matt also says, are all gay characters contractually obliged to have a fully working gaydar and desire to hook up with each other? It seemed a little forced to me.
Oh, no, I thought they were sweet.
I did too, actually.
I really believed that.
If you live in Ambridge, anybody that's, you know, not direly heteronormative must come as like rare and refreshing fruit. So, you know, I'm sure that...
I really liked Paul this week. I just thought now that, as you said, they don't have to describe
him.
No, he's
not Rita Hayworth anymore.
He is sounds really nice and a laugh and just a refreshing character.
Yeah, and just quite normal. And he wasn't fazed by the hunt ball. He just went, I've got to hire a suit, so it better be worth it.
And as Dan said, it was very orcs. Whenever a younger character says orcs or ovs or sort of speaks, it is a bit grating, isn't it? But actually, I thought they had good chemistry, Rory and Paul.
Yeah. Touché, Harriet. This is from Kate, who says, I've been listening to your podcast for a while now and I love it. I've tried several different Archers podcasts and yours is my favourite. Thank you very much. She said, the younger listener emails are very interesting. I am 42 now and my 20-year fan anniversary will be this Christmas.
Oh, cute.
I was fortunate enough to spend 2 years at St John's College, Oxford from 2002 to 2004. The first Christmas, it did not occur to me that I could go home to Minnesota for the holidays. I don't know why. All the other Americans I know there figured it out. Anyways, I spent a solitary holiday season in Oxford, and honestly, it was a very special and memorable Christmas. Oh. I was already a Radio 4 listener at that point, having grown up with Minnesota Public Radio in our house all the time. Radio 4 was the natural fit. Sometimes actually I fell asleep to Radio 4, but I quickly learnt that My Country 'Tis of Thee would be played in the middle of the night and wake me up. However, I hadn't caught The Archers because my schedule never had me round to really pay attention to it. All that changed at Christmas when I had nothing to do but listen. I still recall the story that hooked me, Oliver and Caroline, right there as a 22-year-old American. I was absolutely 100% a fan. I have been listening ever since. The Archers has accompanied me to law school on a 4-year stint in the army with 2 deployments to Iraq and back home to Minnesota. Many people wrongly believe Rob Titchener is in Canada, but did you know the script actually had him flee to Minnesota?
See for yourself.
And she sent me the there's a BBC piece and it said anyone feel sorry for Minnesota.
I'm obsessed with this story.
I have some thoughts as to which part of our state he went to but have not investigated.
I would to see that story put to a soundtrack with sort of clips from The Archers coming through, a bit like a BBC 100 years.
Yes.
And then, you know, a montage of the sort of, you know, military footage, all that sort of, I think this could be beautiful. Not military footage as such,
no.
But the journey.
Yes, not landmines and things. No, the journey. Yes.
But, you know, the dreaming spires, all of that.
I quite and like, there's a sort of Garrison Keillor, the NPR thing as well. There's a sort of Garrison Keillor
element to it. And then it ends in, does Minnesota have mountains?
No.
Okay, a lake?
Yes, loads.
A beautiful, oh my God. I'm
Lake Wobegon, yes.
You might have to email me that email so I can do a little montage.
Okay.
No, but Archer's anniversaries are quite nice, aren't they? If it's like your 20-year or your 10-year and you go from, and actually it'd be quite interesting, wouldn't it? Because you, in your little montage, you start with the storyline that you fell in love with the Archers on and then do a sort of quick flip book through to present day.
And just to see how the characters have all evolved. Because, did you see that picture of Eddie Grundy that I retweeted yesterday?
Was that on the cover?
The
record
sleeve, yeah.
Oh my God, that is hilarious, isn't it? That is so funny.
But he was
the heartthrob.
He has had a real character evolution, hasn't he, Eddie?
But then even back then, he was a bit a comedy character, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Even if he was releasing records with his chest hair showing.
But now he's gone to this kind of slightly more grandfather-y, slightly more mature sort of.
Yeah.
And he's often the one that doesn't get taken in because you can't kid a kidder. And he can see what George is doing even when no one else can. Even Emma is blind to it.
Yes. Yeah, but he couldn't see through. Because I thought when he was talking about Mia being vegan, and I thought eventually it's going to clock, isn't it? That, of course, she's probably the most anti-hump person in the whole village. Yeah. But it didn't clock. But I thought the scene between him and Oliver in the limo was really nice.
Yeah.
They've got Eddie. When Eddie shows his sort of big, warm heart, instead of his sort of like not, you know, not so delicate, you know, it was very moving in a way. I thought
yes, I agree.
When he was sort of saying, "I'd do anything for you, Oliver."
Yeah,
really.
I'd do
anything for you, dear Oliver. For you made everything. What a cider for me under the vibrator, vibrating seats. And then Oliver comes in. Anyway,
we've got another area, Everett, on the line.
Oh, hello, caller. What's your question?
I'm Daniel's Auntie Jo's sister's son, James, which annoyingly makes me Daniel Everett's older brother, I think. I'm the fourth member of the Average on the Couch WhatsApp group. And as it's gotten a bit quiet on there, I thought I'd email in to communicate with my family. I really enjoyed Monday's episode with Ruth and hoped that we would have more Ruth and David and Jill arguments, but instead we got Rory and Paul. Ruth is one of my favourites, closely followed by Pip, which may be a controversial opinion. Controversial, it's sectionable.
Great, thank you for that.
I think Ruth might drop her fella, David, and start dating Stella. But who knows?
No, I think we can.
I love the fact that because he's a ute, he first
writes in poetry.
Ruth divorcing
poetry.
Her husband of 30 years is dropping her fella.
She's going to drop her fella and go out with Stella.
Well, it's an ambitious storyline.
It might.
Yes, right. Who have we got now? Oh, Joanne Lynn. Yes, actually, I think that a good old family row was very entertaining listening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially coming from such unexpected quarters, in a way. Yes.
Do you think if you are the sort of a similar age to a character, you relate to them more than... Because the rest of us find Pip intensely annoying.
But
James doesn't. So is that because James is more of an age with her? So he can identify
with
James
her. Can't be as old as Pip.
No, he's not. But he's sort of more of an age than we are. Oh, no, you're probably more Pippy, aren't
No,
you?
I think she's younger. I think she's probably in her 30s.
Okay.
I think she's probably young 30s, isn't she?
Why are you erring like that?
I didn't want to admit that I'm not in my 30s. Because I'm so vain.
Okay.
I like people to never... I just listen to my voice and you can just picture what you want. Because I often play younger characters when I'm voice acting.
Do you have a media age?
Yes, and it doesn't involve a fourth bitch. It's just goes up to 35, I think.
And then
playing age
abruptly.
7 to 5.
Okay.
I think that's what it says on my spotlight. I don't know why anyone would relate to Pip.
No,
I think
I
that's
don't.
Sweet that James has. Good for you, because she needs
one.
Someone on her side.
You're a fan group of one.
Pip needs someone looking out for her.
She does.
And she's got it. And James.
You and
that's
Stella.
Very nice.
That's it. Joanne Lynn said, this could be interesting. I think Jill has quite the nerve telling off David and Ruth for making their own decisions about their farm and their children without first asking themselves, what would Jill do? I'm looking forward to seeing the repercussions if Jill follows through and actually flounces off in a snit. Will Shula come back from whatever far-flung place she went to? Nope. To try and broker a peace now that she's an even more godly woman? Nope.
Interesting.
Will Jill move into Elizabeth's spare room? Yes. And if she does, isn't that where Rosie Ruth Grace Archer was conceived? An already livid Jill probably won't want to sleep in the same bed where a child named both Ruth and Grace was made. And cosy family breakfasts with Jill and Vince and Elizabeth in attendance will be awkward. Also, the question I'm most intrigued by, will this be the moment when David sides with his wife and actually cuts a steel cable apron strings? If so, I expect we'll all feel the earth tilt slightly off its axis. It would make a nice symmetry, though, if Ruth managed to kill her mother by boring her to death while driving to Brookfield, and David manages to go to the extreme opposite and kill his mother by making her explode with fury as she drives away from Brookfield. Joanne, not the oldest listener, not the youngest, owner of no dogs, no babies, and no extended family who will also be emailing you.
Any WhatsApp groups?
Letting the slide down, Joanne, come on.
But what Dave... did David... Because David said, come on, Mum, I told you we were selling land.
Yeah.
But clearly he didn't, because it has all been... To be fair to Jill, it has all been done in a big old rush.
Yeah, and she wasn't... And she was absent for a lot of it, because she's always been lying down in her room.
Yeah, but even we know that Hollow Tree is a special bit of land.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have kept mentioning it for years and years.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is a bit odd that they're just suddenly selling it, and that David should have told Jill, because even though she's not running the farm now, that's got, you know, come on, she's an old lady.
And there must be another bit. I mean, they've got enough.
Yeah, or just sell the barn. Yeah. No, you can't do that because it's got have Christmas decorations in it.
No.
What are they going to do with the Christmas? You know, there was like,
Doesn't it just sound dismal?
Oh, my God. Imagine how cold. If you're having a Christmas wedding and you're expecting it to be all lovely and cosy.
Yeah.
And then you get in that barn, it's bloody freezing because they're not going to turn the heating
on. Last year's decorations all ripped and a bit sicky.
Oh, my God. And you don't even get champagne. You get mulled wine and mince pies for your canapes.
And there's rats at the corners. And
oh, my God. And the
atmosphere is really,
wedding.
Really frosty because the married couple aren't speaking to each other and Aunt Ada Jean's hanging out the top of Brookfield window.
Jill enters with a big cauldron and a broomstick and a cackle
and Ben
turns everyone
crying.
Into snakes. I mean, it's a nightmare. There's no way I'm booking that barn for anything.
No, me neither.
Also, it'd be such a frosty old, not that it is anymore because it never gets cold, but you know, what? Once it gets to January, if you're driving up that lane and you're skidding all over the place. Yep. Oh dear.
Yes. Oh dear.
I'd much rather go to Lower Locks. Lower Locks
too.
Every time.
Low Locks.
I wonder if they do a good hot chocolate.
Talking of drinksies.
Oh yeah, we need to, oh what?
You wanted to talk about Luscombe, didn't you?
Oh my God, Lizzie. Lucy, we were supposed to finish half an hour ago.
I know. Do you need to go?
Well, no, it's fine now. I assume that the child has gone.
Okay.
Because I haven't heard otherwise. We wanted to talk about Luscious Luscombe.
Luscious Luscombe.
I bet Lower Loxley, well, if they don't, they should supply Luscious Luscombe drinks.
Don't they? They're just they do Luscombe. Them in National Trust places, I think, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do.
I always
and
associate
actually,
them with National
and that's
Trust
the thing,
places.
Lower Loxley would be the type of place. So we, oh my God, this, I think it was, I was literally couldn't believe. I was so excited to get that box. We got a box of Luscombe bottles, didn't we, of fizzy drinks. And I was already a fan, so I was already excited. And I think we drunk, did we get, I don't know, like 20 bottles or something? Mm. And we finished them all in a weekend. Because they are so nice.
That raspberry crush one.
No, so raspberry crush delicious. Sicilian lemonade. The reason they're lovely fizzy drinks is they're not too sweet.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them drink. You can. They are like, they're a really good alternative. If you're having dry January or something, they are perfect.
Yeah.
But I took a photo. The raspberry one is delicious, but the best one, Lucy, took a photo of it because I didn't want to forget the name and now I can't find the photo. Oh, yeah. Because it's quite a sexy name. Damascene Rose Bubbly.
Oh, the champagne.
Did you have that one?
The champagne alternate,
It's so nice. And that's the sort of one that you would have if you were dry at Christmas or something and you're not having your champagne. Get yourself some Damascene Rose Bubbly and put it in a champagne glass. Mm. It is divine.
Yeah.
Honestly, I couldn't. I had some girlfriends around and we had kittens. Shane Paul wasn't there because we were excited by the bubbles. We loved it. So thank you, Luscombe. I was ridiculously happy to get that. And I
It has got
recommend.
Lower Loxley written all over it.
All over it.
Even Luscombe at Lower Loxley. Well, you can imagine it, the whole
such
thing.
Such a good name.
It. Yeah.
It is Lizzie Drinks, Luscombe, Damascene Rose Bubbly. Before Vincey, because Vince is just too nice for Vince to drink.
Yeah, he does.
I don't want his fat, dirty hands over one of those pretty bottles. No, get your dirty get your blooded fingernails off my Damascene Rose. Thank you very much. Oh, but I love a bit of Lizzie's Damascene Rose. Bet you do, Vince. Now get out,
Lizzie. It's made me bloat. I'm really farty. I'm going to go walk around the garden for a bit.
Also, Lucy, because they're, because they're not fermented drinks.
They don't explode.
You don't even have to shake them. You can just take the lid off and it's fine.
And it's user-friendly if you're somebody like Harriet who struggles with the concept of a bottle. Yeah,
with fizziness. Mm. Yeah.
We got sent some fresh wasabi. And you're scared of it.
I'm scared of it. But the bit I wasn't scared of was the jar of wasabi mayonnaise, which is incredible.
Yes.
Especially if you're having a bit of salmon.
I think that's in Sainsbury's. Did you try the mustard as well?
I don't think I got the mustard.
Oh, I think Jeff took the mustard away with him. I don't think I was even allowed to try that.
No, I think I just got the mayo. But did you chop up the wasabi then?
Yes.
Did you use all the special bits that come with it?
It's amazing. It comes with this little dinky brush and a little dinky scraper thingy.
But what I couldn't understand was, what do you do with the dinky brush? Because basically, your scent, a fresh wasabi, which is like a root, which is like a bit of root ginger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or a root horseradish.
And you grate it, and then you brush off the bits that are stuck on the grater with a little brush.
Oh, that's what the brush is for.
And then you mix it with whatever you want to mix it with.
Mayo.
With the little brush. Use it like a little paintbrush.
Well, the thing is, the brush, the children saw the beautiful, because it's all so...
It's lovely.
Beautifully,
and it feels
presented.
Quite sort of mindful and zen that you're doing
it. Because it's fresh and it smells nice. Mm. Everything about it is clean and beautiful. What's the company called again? Fresh Wasabi? The brush...
It's called the Wasabi Company.
The Wasabi Company.
Yes.
The brush ended up in one of my children's bedrooms for Barbie hair. Because even though it's not like a hairbrushy brush... For some reason, it left the box and ended up in a child's bedroom next to the Barbies. So I can only assume they were sort of brushing, I don't know, like, or using it as a broom for their slave Barbies or something.
So they're now, they've got Barbies with quite spicy hair. But it's a great, if you've
but
got
it's
somebody...
a really nice, it's a really nice tactile brush, isn't it?
Mm, yes. If you've got somebody,
you could tickle somebody who likes being tickle your doggies with it.
If you've
or your
got
babies.
Somebody in your life that likes spicy food and horseradish
I love all that.
The wasabi starter kit is £20 from the Wasabi Company.
Oh, it's a great present then.
It's a
fabulous
present.
That's a brilliant present.
Yeah, that's
Christmas
what I was
present.
Thinking.
Yeah, because it's gadgety.
Yes.
So I'm trying not to be stereotypical here, Lucy, but you could give it to a man.
Yes.
Or a young boy. No, not a young boy. An old boy. You could give it to one of the Everett boys.
Yes.
Christmas
all
present.
Of them. Should we do that? We'll put them on the... Because I was really stuck about what to get the Everetts.
So I think we've covered that.
Yes, we have. No, it's
we love. We love.
And
we love.
Best of all, they've invited us to the Watercress. Watercress Festival in May.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Because
you're just excited about
first...
not being at your house. But anyway.
Yeah, but also because I grew up near a watercress farm.
Oh.
And it was one of my first school trips. And it was a school trip that my dad came on, and that made it really special.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I'm quite into watercress because I grew up in that area.
Mm-mm.
I know a lot about watercress. I'm a big fan.
big fan.
Oh, so have we got a date for that?
We
could do...
it's Alresford in Hampshire.
Yeah, Alresford. Alresford, Lucy.
Alresford.
It's very near where I grew up, really.
Yes. So we're going to go on the Watercress Line Steam Railway.
Yes!
And
I was about to say.
To hold
are we going on the Watercress Line?
The World Watercress Eating Championships to see who can eat an 80 gram bag of watercress in the fastest time.
I think I could, actually.
And keep it down, she puts worryingly.
Oh, my
anyway.
God. It would come out the other end, wouldn't it? A bit, bit like.
A bit stringy. Yeah.
Artichoke smell. Asparagus smell.
Anyway,
have you ever been on the watercress line?
No.
It's so lovely. It's a steam train, obviously. And you can also do, I don't know if they still do it after COVID, but when my kids were little, we used to do the Christmas train.
Oh.
And you'd go on the watercress line and Father Christmas would be on there and he'd come through the train. It's such a fun thing to do.
That they but anyone with small children in Ambridge went on this line. Was it called the Blue?
That rings a bell.
The Bluebell line. The Blackberry line?
The Cloudberry line or something. That rings a bell, Lucy.
And it hasn't been mentioned for ages. I think the last people that went on it were Jack and Henry.
It might have folded in COVID.
That's true, yes.
And once Jack and Henry had vandalised it, it couldn't go any further. We haven't heard about From the Hot Tub for a while.
No, they're still in it.
Sorry, I'm just so excited about our watercress trip.
I know.
Can we get a date in, please?
Yes, well, we need to find out when it is first, don't we?
Okay, yes. Okay.
And then
oh
we'll
God.
Book things.
And we'll do some roving reporting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She says we can also have a tour of the wasabi farm as well.
Oh, my God. Will we get sushi?
Go and see what?
Sushi.
Go and have some sushi? Yes,
with
okay.
The wasabi.
Do they do sushi in Hampshire? Would you just have to eat a wolf's
actually,
finger or something?
I don't know where they do it apart from big cities.
Okay.
I don't know where sushi is provided.
No,
but I don't really know
Let's
what else
to Japan
you eat
for
with
the sushi,
sushi
and then
you know what they do in Hampshire, which is perfect for your wasabi, is a lot of rainbow trout.
Oh, yes, that would be
yeah,
good.
Yeah, because the River Test has a lot of trout in it.
Excellent.
Which would be perfect for wasabi.
Yes.
So let's have some fish and wasabi.
Okay. Brilliant.
And some luscombe to just wash it all down with, Lucy.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, my God. This couldn't be more middle class, this podcast.
I know.
It's embarrassing.
I know. We did our class war bit at the start, and now we've just moved on to steam railways and home grated wasabi.
Do they do any internships?
I'll get you one. Right. Now, because this is a bumper issue.
Oh,
this
my
really
God.
Is.
This was supposed to be a really, really quick podcast
yes.
today.
Sorry. Harriet's children are now scattered all over West London talking. Crying. And now, let's go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, my cousin Janosch was boot out of bake off. We was cheer for him every episode, me and Graham, wave a flag of Eurovisia and sing national song which go on for hour and hours, so we cut out all the verses about beheading all the postmen. Shall I sing it? Now? Oh, now. Hello, this is me, Fabrizio Felpersham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. Today is a different show to normally, as today I am going to be like Jeremy Kiley show, where he has on lots of people with tracksuit, and they take their teeth out and have fights, and shout, "Why didn't you tell me he was my father?" Ooh. I bet that surprised you. You did not know I could speak like that. It is how I speak when I take my woohoo to garage. Otherwise, they charge me £200 to put in the windscreen cleaning. Oh, now I have hurt my throat. I must have a little sippy of elderflower. Oh, that's better. Now, today I am being Jeremy Kiley because very important family in Ambridge need some help with having a big argue. It is the Brookfield Archer and it is all very cross. Now, Ruth Archer, would you like to give us a back of better ground on what the heck have been happening?
Well, Fabrice, it's all down to my mother-in-law. She's been quietly critical of me for years, but this time she's gone too far.
Oh, that is interesting that you feel she was critical. Maybe you are oversensitive.
You're joking. She used my gravy to grout the shower. She's had the Just Eat menu laminated to pass around every time it's my turn to cook. And she's knackered my sofa by romping on it with her boyfriend. I think Jill's just a distraction, Ruth. If you didn't always have your hand up a cow, you'd know what your son was doing. Jazzer agrees, don't you, Jazzer?
Oh, let's not bring in another accent. There is enough go on here as it is.
Don't you start on me, Tracy. I know what my son was doing and your daughter was doing it with him. She got him drunk at a rave. It's not like your family's not done that before. Remember Loxfest?
Oh, I was there. Hang on. Do you mean me? Febreze, does she mean me?
Not surprised you can't remember it. Your view was obscured by Roy's spotty bottom most of the time.
Well, at least I could hold on to Roy. He was hiding in bins to try and get away from you. He was obsessed with me. He threw stones at my window.
He was trying to hit you with them, that's why.
Oh dear, this has all got very shout all of a sudden. This was all started by Jill, I think. Is she here? I cannot see her, but the two big security men are blocking out most of the light. Cooey, security men. Clint, Daryl. Is there a little old lady making pastry behind you?
She's still downstairs, I think. She'd taken against one of the receptionists for wearing the wrong colour lipstick and had her by the throat.
Oh, she is quite assert then, I think.
Oh, yes, no problem there. The only person who can do anything with her is Leonard, and he just wraps her up in a blanket and takes her out for a drive, dumps her in a lay-by and makes her walk home. Then she's too knackered to be stroppy.
Oh, here she is, Mrs. Victorian Values.
Oh, stand by, Clint and Daryl. I can sense the trouble. Mrs. Jill Archer, you have created a lot of drama and everyone is very angry. Do you have comment?
Right, that's it. I'm having her. Right, thank you.
Well, that is me from Febreze of... Ow, Clint, you stood on my espadrille. Felbersham, thank you for joining me. And remember that the most important thing about family is communication. Ruth, put her down.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you, Febreze.
Thank you, Febreze.
I'm not going to bother to do the patreon.com bit because we haven't got time. You know where we are if you want to follow us, if Twitter is still there.
Yes, at On Ambridge. And thank you so much for your reviews. We really appreciate them.
Yes.
And did you know, Lucy, that the more reviews we have, the further up in the charts we go. We want to beat Waitrose.
Yep.
We want to get
However, Harriet's still doing quite well in El Salvador, so, you know.
True
nothing
that.
To worry about.
And we get the odd appearance in the Canadian charts and the States, which is quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah. You can email us.
Thank you very much for if you have dropped a review recently.
Yes.
Big, big thanks.
You can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. Even if your surname is not Everett.
Or WhatsApp us. Oh, no, don't.
And now, this week, this really made me laugh. Matt Rodriguez Payne has done his version of the music that was playing behind Lizzie at the
Humble. But not Flawed. We didn't talk about Flawed. Flawed. It was Flawed, wasn't it? Flawed. But Flawed wasn't the lift music that was playing behind Lizzie. That was just the warm-up to Flawed.
Yes. Flawed. Oh, God.
Flawed
anyway.
Are playing.
So,
good Lord, it's Flawed. This is Flawed. Anyway, sorry.
So, yes, this is called the One Note Samba Incorporating the Archers. Courtesy of Matt Rodriguez Payne. On your marks, get set, go. Croker and his band. He never gets a mention now, Tommy Croker, does he? Even though his son's taken over the band, he's hardly ever
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah, Jack Woolley always used to have Tommy Croker's band used to play at Grey Gables. Thank you very much, Matt. That really made me laugh.
Stick that in the orangery.
It did. It did sound...
da, 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 da. Ba, ba, ba.
You can imagine Brian Aldridge shifting his buttocks from foot to foot, dancing that while he's sort of clutching onto his scotch. Oh dear, made me laugh. Anyway,
it's
you
Blackpool
need to go.
Blackpool tonight, isn't it? Strictly.
What?
Is it Blackpool tonight? Strictly.
I don't know.
You're not watching Strictly?
No.
Oh, what are you like? Okay, it's fine. Don't worry. It's
okay.
Fine.
Just. I'm not actually worried.
Do you not watch Strictly?
No.
Are you actually joking?
No.
You don't watch Celebrity and you don't watch Strictly?
No.
Why are we friends?
I don't know.
Because we listen to the Archers.
We have to be because we do this podcast.
We listen to the Archers. We need to talk about meeting up, Lucy, before it gets to Christmas.
Yes, I need to
we
give
need
you
to
the
talk
pudding.
About. You need to give me the pudding. I need to give you. I don't need to give you the mic. I can't wait to hear the audio quality when this comes out.
Yes. Also, I can't wait for my bar of chocolate, which your husband
ate. Oh, yes, I sent you the photo.
Harriet sent me a picture of her husband looking very shifty by an open fridge with a half-eaten bar of Tony's Chocolonely in his hand. And she just put, this was yours.
I was like, why did you think it was acceptable to eat an unopened bar of Tony's Chocolonely, which wasn't in the snack section of the cupboard? I couldn't believe it, Lisa. I'd sort of hidden it away.
His expression
tins.
Was very funny, though. It was sort of half triumphant. It was like a dog that's nicked a burger to barbecue.
It was like a naughty Labrador.
And sort of happy Rufus. And sort of guilty.
I couldn't believe it. I was so cross. Because that's not a cheap bar of chocolate either. No. Anyway, so there, I will be getting another one in time for when we our exchange. Exchange.
Yeah, no, we'll get something in the diary.
Yes, we need to get something in the diary. And we also need to get a date for our patrons' Christmas.
Yes, the Christmas
drinks.
Cocktails. Yeah.
Yay.
And
I
think we should do fancy dress. Come as your favourite character.
Okay, that's a great idea. I'm coming as Lizzie. I'm putting
oh my
a
God.
Fox on my shoulder.
And nothing else.
Coming in my... it's like when she went to pick up Vince from the airport and she just had a big coat on, nothing underneath.
And high heels.
Okay, so we need to put all that in the diary.
In the Times today, it was 10 ways to manage your Christmas social engagements. And as I've only got two of them and both of them involve you, I'm managing quite well. So thank you, the Times. That was extremely helpful.
Yeah, because I feel like my diary is getting quite full, Lucy, so we need to book a few dates in. I've got two Christmas parties in the diary already. Three.
How many of them involve the under fives?
None. Thank God. Those don't count because they're not fun.
No, they're
They
awful.
Don't go in the diary in the hope that I forget.
They involve shouting all the way home, I can't believe you did that!
Father Christmas only visits good children. Okay, he is watching. That's what I like saying at this time of year. He's watching. He, with a capital H, is watching.
No, it's
how'd
not God, darling.
How
do
you know he's a he? How do you know he's a he? He could, because he has a beard. Okay? He has a beard.
How does he come down to chimneys when we don't have any chimneys?
Because he is magic. Anyway, there might be kids listening, and so yes. I'm just very excited about him coming, Lucy.
And also, okay. We get to open our advent calendar, don't we?
Yay! You know, I still haven't opened it normally.
No, well, you shouldn't have, because it is.
No, but you opened the Cadbury's one that we were
the
saying.
The PR
James
lady
Cadbury's.
Told me to open it. So
I know, but I feel bad that I didn't open it, and therefore I'm saving up the
That's
joy.
All right.
But I'm already a fan of that chocolate anyway. Mm. I've been known to buy it in Whole Foods.
Whole Foods.
Sorry, it's embarrassing, is it? It was right next to Piccadilly Circus Tube. Mm. It's hard to walk past without going in sometimes. Mm. Anyway. So thanks very much for having me.
Thanking you.
Thank you for your pig
and
stories.
Now- We will go and collect up your children from wherever they are.
I will do, yeah.
And all of them. Make sure you count. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I will now play the one note samba to play us out.
I've had a lovely time. Thank you so much. I love your mic. He loves me too. Bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.